Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Hello, Charleston Wine and Food. It's it. Ben Ellsworth is in the house. Gig Pro, baby.
Woo! All right, official work first. Welcome to HRN on tour at Charleston Wine and Food 2022. I'm Liza Hamm. Today we are broadcasting live from the heart of the Culinary Village. This episode is made possible thanks to the support of Ben's friends in Indigo Road Restaurant Group. We're in the final stretch of our interview process, which means we couldn't leave Charleston without talking to Ben Ellsworth and Mickey Bask. They're two veterans of the hospitality industry here in Charleston. Mickey was general manager of the Charleston Grill from 2004 to 2020.
Yes.
And Ben was the executive chef of Mercado. Then became a respected restaurant consultant for years and years.
Respected.
I heard it. Word on the street. But the two of them are just as well known for their big-hearted efforts to improve the lives of people working in the industry. And that's what we're mostly going to focus on. First of all, welcome, Mickey, and welcome, Ben.
Thank you, Liza.
Hope you guys will just start by telling me a little bit, because you're both not from Charleston originally. What brought you here? Do you want to start, Ben?
Yeah, I came to Charleston in 1998 to go to Johnson & Wales. So I was a little lost in direction. My mom said you can make a living at cooking, and I thought that was probably the coolest thing I'd ever heard.
What about you, Mickey?
Well, I had been offered a position at the brand new Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas. And they took me out there, and my wife went with me. And my wife said to me as we were flying back, let's get it straight. You're a drunk, a drug addict, a gambler, and a womanizer. We're going to Las Vegas. Why? And literally the next day, the chef, Bob Wagner, at the Charleston Grill called me and said, I heard you're going to Las Vegas. What's wrong with you? Come to Charleston. I came here, I fell in love, and we've stayed.
What do you think has evolved about the culinary scene since you both began? Briefly.
Can I take that one?
Yeah, please.
Realistically, in 2004, there was not much of a culinary scene here. Charleston was known as a city for history, and it was a beautiful history. But that's what Charleston was known for. A couple of chefs, Mike Latta being one of the principals, started garnishing some attention. The festival started, and unconditionally, in my mind, the Charleston Wine and Food Festival changed Charleston because chefs from all over America started coming. Restaurateurs started moving here from other cities. Media people started hearing about it, and I truly attribute that to the Charleston Wine and Food Festival, without a doubt.
That's awesome, yeah. What do you think?
It's a completely different place, that's for sure.
It is, yeah. Describe what it was like when you first got here.
There was a few fine dining restaurants that were kind of leading the culinary scene, and then there's a lot of, you know, $5 for a slice of pizza and a beer spots for the college students. And then it just went kaboom. Yeah.
Now, working in the restaurant industry is exhausting in itself, just trying to succeed. And at the same time, you all also both have moved into like philanthropic work as well, and like giving back and helping. Did you always know that you wanted that to be part of your professional life?
Hell no.
Hell yes.
All right, I love it.
Absolutely. You know, both Ben and I, we should address it, are both sober now for varying lengths of time. And both of us got sober in AA. And one of the steps of the AA is about giving back, to complete ourselves, to help us grow. Giving back and reaching out to others and being available is an essential component of our sobriety. I will say that Ben never turns down somebody who asks for help. I would like to say people think the same with me, but I think that even though he may not have thought of it back then, it's an essential part of being sober. Would you agree, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I think even though I wasn't aware of it, I must have had some fundamental core to me to, you know, the hospitality industry is service. I mean, that's what you're doing. You're creating timeless memories for other people, taking a lot of time and a lot of energy out of your own life to do that for others. So, you know, I think it was always inherently there to some degree. I just didn't really know how to grab onto it until, you know, I started moving off in a different direction in life.
So talk about that a little bit, Ben, of like, I think it's, you came up with the idea for Gig Pro before the pandemic, 2019, or?
It was actually 2000, the idea of the light bulb was the end of 2018. I was about 2 years sober at that time. I had started consulting as a chef, and I was really seeing, like, over the course of 4 years, I opened 8 restaurants, and I opened them up all understaffed, and I just saw it for the first time. Like, man, it's really hard to find people. While I was consulting, I started Airbnb-ing an extra room out of my house, and then one of my buddies got me to come in and get a kitchen open for him, and we did an opening night, and a dishwasher called out for a shift, and so I do what you always do as a chef in that situation. You look at your staff and you're like, who knows the guy? We need to find someone now. And we're all scrolling through our phones, text messaging, calling. And then I get a push notification that someone had booked my Airbnb. And I said, I wish he had booked to wash these dishes. And that was it. I mean, I think if I was still drinking, I probably could have had that idea, you know, that light bulb, but I definitely wouldn't have ever done anything about it.
And Ben, I got to say, I honestly think a Gig Pro as a product of sobriety. I mean, you would never have gotten there without it. And what you've done with it has been extraordinary. But it really is directly related to your sobriety.
Yeah, I mean, chef, type A personality, you know, strong-willed. You know, when I came to kind of the end of my drinking, I did something very foreign to me, which was I reached out and asked for help. And I really haven't stopped doing that through this entire process. You know, I'm a chef that owns a software company that's thriving right now. I'm in a completely different world, but I think, like, inherently, what we're doing as a company is good. We're helping businesses get back to capacity. We're helping people make more money and connect with the right businesses that can possibly put them in a better financial spot with incentives and a great culture. And, you know, we have this labor crisis right now because of COVID, because something was obviously wrong. Like, the people have spoken and they don't want to come back. So how do we get them back? We got to get them in touch with the right places that are going to take care of them.
Absolutely. Well, but you also in 2020 finally decided to leave Charleston Grill, which must have been a huge decision to make. Was it quick and painless decision, or was it a long drawn out decision?
No, I did restaurants for 47 years. I'm a maitre d'. Whether I owned the restaurant or worked there, I'm a maitre d'. I love this industry. I love the magic of touching people, creating experiences. I love watching two people fight and then get back together over a meal. I love the romance of restaurants. Honestly, I love celebrating occasions. It was hard as hell, to be honest. But number one, I'm 70 years old. Number two, COVID made, in early COVID, doing what I did was no longer possible. I didn't want to end my career in a mask. I didn't want to end my career not being able to lay my hand on the shoulder of a customer who was having an experience. And also, Ben's Friends was growing and growing, and we went on to, and I'll talk about that now.
Yeah.
Should I start with what it is?
Absolutely.
Steve Palmer, founder of the Indigo Road, and myself created an organization in 2016. We only thought it would be in Charleston. It was the direct result of one of Steve's employees passing away from alcohol and drug abuse. We had here in 2016 during the festival, three young restaurant people die in a 36-hour period from alcohol and drug overdoses. And Steve and I talked about how our industry is racked with addiction. And honestly, we're one of the highest industries per capita for drug and alcohol addiction. And we wanted to do something. And so we started a little group in Charleston, thinking that we would be there for anybody who was struggling and wanted to get sober. Today we're in 15 cities. Today we have 11, 12, 13 online Zoom meetings where people from all over the country in the industry come to bond with others that are trying to figure out how to stay sober while still working on a line, working behind a bar, working in a dining room. And I say with great pride, there are a lot of people who have found their road to sobriety by coming to Ben's Friends.
Well, in the last 2 years, I think, has probably only increased the trouble and the tough times that people in the restaurant industry are going through. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen just in the last 2 years?
Can you imagine? There's still cities in the country that are locked down, not as tightly, but can you imagine being out of work, not a lot of money, living in an apartment by yourself, and you don't know what to do. You don't know what's coming. Alcoholism, in particular drug addiction, they feed on isolation. They feed on it. So you had a whole generation of people who were out of work, unemployed, not knowing how to get by. And all of a sudden, what was an occasional drinking became straight through. Let's drink. What else do I do? We have watched it just explode. And it's not just alcohol, it's drugs. Look at the recent figures. The largest amount of drug overdoses in our history was last year, in 2021. So the problem just got exacerbated by all the stress, the uncertainty. You go to work and 3 days later they have to close down again. You're in a mask, nobody's showing up for work. You don't have the people to function, which is why what Ben's doing is so great with Gig Pro. But all of the stresses boiled up and people just went to their companion, alcohol and drugs.
So what do you hope to see Ben's Friends do in the next 5 years?
I hope Ben's Friends saves the lives of countless, countless people. I don't really care how many, I mean, we'd like to be everywhere. Honestly, as Ben will say, if we save one person's life, to me, my life is worthwhile. And I have, you know, I've been sober a long ass time, 39 years. I've watched countless people die. Countless people. I always say everybody knows the name Thomas Keller, Danielle Ballou, Tom Colico. Nobody knows the name Jeff Rose and Danny Edwards and Steven Resnick. These were geniuses in the kitchen and in restaurants who you've never heard of because they didn't survive. Ben's Friend's mission is to help anybody who is struggling with addiction find a road. There's other roads. We're not saying we're the only one. We believe strongly in AA. I will tell you point blank, AA saved my life. AA saves Ben's life. Agreed?
Agreed.
Yeah, but we want to provide an avenue to help people find the road they want to get sober.
Ben, can you talk a little bit about how Ben's Friends really helped you?
He couldn't talk when he came in. Ben, he couldn't spell his name. No.
I've been in recovery for almost 6 years now, and
that's awesome.
I can probably list on two hands, you know, the people that I see on a regular basis that are in the hospitality industry. You know, so there's definitely a stigma around it. You know, I went to Ben's Friends personally to kind of be around my people. I was still actively working in the hospitality industry. And then I was kind of keeping my eyes open, like, is that guy ready? I'm going to take him off to recovery, you know. You know, I think there's something to be said about, you know, where are all the liquor stores in town? You know, they're usually in very low income places. Why is alcohol and drug abuse like so rampant in the hospitality industry? You know, and it's tough to work most of your life and, you know, especially for other people, and then get to a point where you're financially struggling. I mean, in the beginning, like, my thought with GigPro was like, hey, maybe we can get this guy, you know, even before the pandemic, I mean, we're in a decade-long labor shortage. It was just getting worse and worse and worse, and nobody really wanted to talk about it. You know, the city's getting too saturated, there's too many restaurants, not enough workers, but if you're really attracting a workforce in, you should be able to scale and keep scaling, you know, but we weren't attracting people in. You know, and so my initial thought in the beginning was like, you know, because I've been that guy. I've been the chef that was the lead cook online and had to work two or three jobs to make ends meet. Charleston's not cheap. You know, going rate of a bedroom's $1,200. $15 an hour does not cut it here. And state averages definitely don't work. So my initial thought was like, hey, look, we can get them on the app. You know, they can work on their time off, make an on-demand rate, and maybe quit that second job.
Yeah.
That seems a little closer to sustainability.
Absolutely.
But then COVID hit and it completely shifted. It changed the business mission, everything, you know? And it turned into like, let's connect these people to the businesses that are gonna take care of them. And then, if we get good businesses that take care of their people to staff up, they can scale that culture and that business model, and then maybe we can change the dialogue of the industry, you know?
And you started in Charleston, but you're in other cities at the time as well now, right?
Three of us took it into 9 cities.
Hey.
And we've grown quite a bit. And so we're just moving into 12 cities. And then 13 will be, we're going into Louisville, Kentucky on the 21st.
And I want to interject, as he grows, GigPro has become a major financial sponsor because he gives back. Every month, GigPro is helping Ben's friends financially spread the word.
That's amazing.
So he made a conscious decision as a business person with his partners to give back to the industry.
That's so important, I think, is to figure out a way to both succeed as a business, but also give back to the community.
I think we have the same mission. It's like, how do we create sustainability within the industry? You know, whether that's financial, whether that's culture, whether that's getting health insurance for you and your family, whether that's getting sober to keep air in your lungs. I mean, the whole thing's kind of mushed together.
What other changes would you like to see in the industry? What do you think is a really critical issue at the moment?
I think that there's been a sudden shift in the industry. I can't talk about the employment, which Ben can address. But, you know, I'm of the generation, somebody came into your restaurant, an employee, and they were drunk, you kicked them the hell out. You know, it was an industry where we said, get out of here. You know, the subject, Ben's friend started in 2016, Anthony Bourdain died, and all of a sudden, a subject of mental health and well-being for restaurant people started to be discussed and became a national conversation. What I hope to see is that as businesses grow, we learn to take as good a care as our employees as we do of our guests. We spend our days talking about how to make the guest experience great. I believe that businesses today need to spend more time talking about how to make the work environment healthier for the employee.
Hear, hear. That makes a lot of sense. All right, so we almost have to wrap up. I want to make sure each of you talk a little bit about how any listener can find, like, how can a listener learn more about Gig Pro, sign up for Gig Pro?
So if you want to work on the app and pick up shifts in your market, you can go to the Apple or Google Play Store and download the Gig Pro app. If you're a business that wants to sign up and start posting gigs, you can go to our website, gigpro.com, and then go over to the business page. Doesn't cost anything to sign up. Doesn't cost any sign-up fees, subscription model. You only pay if it works.
Awesome. And I want you to quickly also talk about what you've been able to do for the festival this past weekend.
I don't know how many people we sent out here, but it was in the hundreds. Yeah.
So
I mean, but that's... You know, that's it. That's what we do. Like, we get show support.
Absolutely. Well, we're all lucky to have you. Mickey, somebody either wants to support Ben's Friends or get support and find a Ben's Friends group. Tell us how to do that.
There's a thing called Google.
Tell me more.
And everybody knows Google. All you have
to do. Do you think
it's
going to last?
Yeah, I think so. All you have to do is type Ben's Friends into Google. It will take you to our website. Our website will tell you where our Zoom meetings are, where our local meetings are. And also, there's a donate page. And we use the funds that we get, just so the public knows, to help grow it through marketing, through traveling to different markets, through talking to different groups. So bensfriendshope.com or just Ben's Friends in Google. And thank you for having us.
It's been such a treat talking to both of you.
I can't speak for Ben, but I think we both truly appreciate it.
Ben Ellsworth and Mickey Bask, it really has been a privilege to speak to the two of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to HRN's live coverage of Charleston Wine and Food Festival. I'm Liza Hamm. Special thanks to Ben's Friends, an addiction and substance abuse support group for members of the food and beverage industry, and Indigo Road Restaurant Group for making our coverage possible. You can listen to all of our coverage on the podcast Heritage Radio Network on Tour and find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Alweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.